Today's daf is Makos daf Chaf Beis. We are holding on the bottom of daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Vililki Amalei Ula Rav Nachman Vililki Nami Mishum Zoreh B'Yom Tov. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Vishayna Lishav Newman, Luzuchus Rufor Shlema for Chaim Naftali Ben Firmit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Baschaya. First thing we're going to discuss, as we mentioned, that a person could be Chorish Telemecha and be Chayiv Shmon Alavin, that in one act of plowing, he could be Chayiv for eight separate Lavin. So the Gemara is going to say, really, is that it? Aren't there more Lavin that a person can be in violation of? So we're going to suggest different Lavin related to Yom Tov, and things that are related to nothing at all, that are just entirely separate Lavin, that a person could potentially violate while he is still being Chorish the field. And that's what the majority of Amud Aleph is actually going to be about, to identify a half a dozen or more than that, different Lavin that maybe the person could also be in violation of while he is being Chorish. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the number of Malkios that we give and where exactly we hit the person if we give an uneven number, meaning normally it should be a number divisible by 3. If it's not a number divisible by 3, if you hold like the Shita that it's Mamish 40, so where does the 40th lash go? The Gemara is going to have a comment that about the relative value of standing for a Talmud Chacham versus standing for a Sefer Torah, based on the fact that the Torah says that there are 40 Malkios, and the Talmid Chacham are the ones who interpreted the Torah to tell us that there are really only 39 Malkios and not 40. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly that Machlokas is about, whether there are 40 or 39. Then the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to discuss what happens if they do an assessment of how much he can handle, and then they do another assessment, and there's a discrepancy between the two assessments. What exactly does he get? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, which finishes off the daf, is going to give a detailed description of what the Malkus looked like, of exactly what we would do to the person, what the whip looked like, how the whip was swung, all of the details of what exactly it looked like when they would give someone Malkus, which, all the way at the end of Maseches Makos, we finally have a description of what Makos is, what it actually looks like. We keep talking about how many Chivim Malkios for this, for that, but to see what it actually is. So let's start. We are holding on daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Amarle Ula L'Rav Nachman. So says Gemara, Amarle Ula L'Rav Nachman. Ula says Rav Nachman, V'lilki Nami Mishum Zoreya B'Yom Tov. If one of the lavin that you're getting for being choresh on Yom Tov is that you're being choresh, so why isn't there an Isra of Zoreya as well in that Charishas Telem Echad? Amarle Tanav Shayer. Yeah, it's more than 8. There are more than 8 lavin that you could potentially violate at one time. We didn't mention every single example of a lav that could be violated. We left some out. Yeah, it said specifically 8. It said v'chayiv alav mishum shmona lavin, it said in the Mishnah. And you're telling me tana v'shayir, if it just would have said you chayiv for this, for that, and the other thing, so then you could say tana v'shayir. But when it identifies a number and it says this is the number, you can't really say tana v'shayir. So amarava yesh chiluk malachos b'shabbos ve'ein chiluk malachos b'yom tov. There's a fundamental difference between hilchos Shabbos and hilchos Yom Tov, aside from the difference of ochel nefesh, which is beferish in the Torah, that the Torah says ach asher yechol b'chol nefesh ulvado yaseh lachem. Aside from that difference, there's a difference in terms of how one is chayiv for violating multiple malachos. A person violates multiple malachos of Shabbos, separate chiyuvim for each and every malacha. But in Yom Tov, it's just one general iser called iser malacha. No matter how many malachos you do, it's that one iser called iser malacha. And therefore, once you're ready chayiv for Charisha on Yom Tov, there's not going to be a separate chayiv for Zoreya on Yom Tov. So Amar Lei, Adotehei, if you look in the Bach on the side, it says, Nir Be'enai Kamo Zostehei, meaning that this should be, Kolomar Zui Svara Nechona. This is an absolute correct Svara. Delo Kachashiv Deluka Mishum Zorei B'Yom Tov, Mishum De Kachashiv Chorish B'Yom Tov. It doesn't mention Zorei on Yom Tov because it already said Chorish. Ve'enu Chayiv Be'ez Abez Malachos B'Yom Tov Kshasan Basachas. And you are in fact not Chayiv separately for two separate Malachos that you do simultaneously on Yom Tov. So Adate is words of confirmation that yes, what you said is absolutely correct, and that's why we don't mention Zareya and Yom Tov. Eisve Abaye Vein Chiluk Melachos B'Yom Tov. So Abaye asks, wait, is that really true that there's no Chiluk Melachos in Yom Tov, that you're not chayv separately for each Melacha and Yom Tov? Vatnan. But what about the following Mishnah? The Mishnah talks about Hamavashal Gid B'Cholav B'Yom Tov. Let's say a person cooks a Gid Anasha in milk on Yom Tov, va'achlo, and then he eats it. How many isurim did he do? How many malchios is he going to get? Lo kechamesh. He gets 5 malchios. Why? What are the 5? Lo kemishum ochel gid. First of all, he ate a gid anasha, and this, by the way, is a good daf yomi coincidence. It's this week's parasha that al-kein lo yochel b'nei Yisrael is a gid anasha. We don't need the gid anasha because of the fight that Yaakov has with Yisrael shel Esav. So he gets malchios for eating the gid anasha. Ve'lo kemishum mevashel b'yom tov shlo tzorech. He gets malchios for cooking on Yom Tov. Wait, cooking on Yom Tov is mutter. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. No, that's only achasher yechol l'chol nefesh ulevado yasalachem. Only if there's some sort of tzorech Yom Tov. But if there's no tzorech Yom Tov because you're cooking something that you're not allowed to eat, then it's a melacha d'oraisa of cooking. It's all 39 melachos apply to Yom Tov just like they do on Shabbos. It's just that we have a heter called ochol nefesh. When you're being mevashel l'gid, there's no heter of ochol nefesh, so you still have the yisur of bishel. And velokim yishum mevashel gid bechalav. You're also chayiv for cooking the gid in chalav, which is a violation of basa bechalav. The Rivan points out on the bottom that we're assuming yesh begidin b'no seintam, that gid would have a status of basar, that it has some flavor to it, and therefore you're chayiv for cooking it, because after all, the Torah says 3 times, lo sevashel gidi bechalav imo, echol isra achila, ve'echol isra hana'a, ve'echol isra bishul. So there is a direct this for bishul of girana of basar b'chalav v'lokum yishum ochel basar b'chalav. When you then go and eat the giranash that was cooked in the chalav, you get malchus for eating basar b'chalav v'lokum yishum havara, and you also get malchus for the havara of the fire that you used to cook the giranasha. So v'emisa mishum havara l'michayv d'chayv l'mishum bishulo. But if it's true that on Yom Tov there's no chiluk melachos, you can't be chayv for 2 separate melachos that you do simultaneously on Yom Tov. You shouldn't be chayv separately for the bishul and the havara. Those are 2 separate melachos that you did on Yom Tov. So don't you see a raya from here, that from the fact that you chayv 5 malchios for cooking the gid in chalav and eating it, that there is chiluk melachos in Yom Tov, and therefore we're back to our question: why doesn't our Mishnah, when it talks about choresh talam echad, why doesn't it say you're chayv 9 times? Because you should be chayv for zoreya as well. So answers Gemara: apik havara va'ayil giranash shal nevela. You know what? Take havara out of the examples, out of the list of 5 malchios in the case of the giranasha, and instead replace it with saying that it's a giranasha shal nevela. So you're chayiv not for cooking a nevela, but for eating a nevela. There's no issue in cooking a nevela, there's no issue of eating a nevela. So instead of saying that you violated havara in the cooking process, say that in the eating process you violated an extra issur because it was nevela. But wait, Rabbi Chia said that the way the breakdown works of these 5 malchios, only 2 of them are for isurei achila. And we already have on the list for isurei achila that you ate gid and that you ate basar b'chalav. So you can't now throw in a 3rd one of achilas nevela, and the other 3 are supposed to be about the bishul of the basar b'chalav, the bishul on Yom Tov, and the havara. So v'is hasholosh al achilas hu chayiv. And if you're going to switch out havara for nevela, the numbers are off. It's 3 for the achila and only 2 on the bishul. Ella apik havara. No. So we have to take havara off the list, but instead of replacing it with the nevela and saying that it's a gid of nevela, va'il atse ashera. Let's say that the wood you're using for the firewood to burn is atse ashera. Va'asarase mehacha, the azhara for atse ashera, for using atse ashera, is v'liyidbak biyadcha mu'uma, that liyidbak biyadcha mu'uma, you're not allowed to use anything of avodah zara, you're not allowed to be nene from avodah zara. So he says, but I'm not done. That I could still think of more isurim that one violates when he... now that we're not done, if you're going to say that it's Atzei Ashera, then it's not only 5 Malkios, because Atzei Ashera doesn't just add 1 Malkios, it adds 2, because it should also be a violation of Lo Savi Toev El Beisecha. You're right. Let's not say it's Atzei Ashera. Let's say it's Atzei Hegdish, that you're using Atzei Hegdish and you're destroying it in order to cook your Giranasha. So that's only one Malkus. It's not two Malkios, and therefore the grand total is five. It's not six. So that works out perfectly fine if we say that it's Atzei Hegdish. Asks Tosos Im Tomer Lilki Mishum Hizid Bimi Lilki Mishum Hizid Bimi Ila Ba'asara. So he says, but wait a second. Tosfos says it could still be a sixth one, because if you're using Atzei Hegdish, it's Hizid B'Me'ila, which is also a Los Asei, that you're violating Me'ila B'Mezid. So he says, no, that would only be something that's a Shavu Pruta or more, because Pachas Me'Shavu Pruta would not be subject to Me'ila, so there's no Ashara of Hizid B'Me'ila on something that is Pachas Me'Shavu Pruta. And where do we see that you're not allowed to use Atzei Hegdish? Vashem Tishfun Be'esh. Pasuk says you have avodah zarah trees, you should burn those. But then the pasuk says Lo sasun kein LaHashem Elokeichem, that you're not allowed to do the same to Hashem Elokeichem, meaning all the things that one is obligated to do to destroy avodah zarah, one is has an iser in the Torah. Lo sasun kein LaHashem Elokeichem. This drash is quoted in the Sifri in Parshas Re'eh, where it says, how do I know that if you notate even achas mina heichal mina mezbeach umina azaros, you take one stone from any part of the Beis HaMikdash that you violated Lo Sasei, because it says V'nitatimus Mizbechosam Shibartimus Matzevosam Lo Sasein Ken Hashem Elokeichem. You should break all of their Matzevos, you should break all of their Mizbechos, but you can't do the same to Hashem Elokeichem. And that's where Rabbi Shmuel Amar Minayin LeMochik Os Achas Min Hashem Shover B'Lo Sasei. How do I know that even being Mochik and Os Achas from Hashem Hashem is a violation of Lo Sasei? V'badim Hashemam Lo Sasein Ken Hashem Elokeichem. Again, description of what you're supposed to do to Avodah Zarah, destroy the name of Avodah Zarah, but Lo Sasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem. And that's why the Ramah Paskins and Arachayim, Sim Kufan and Beis, they are not allowed to destroy any part of the Beis HaKnesses unless it's Almanas Livnos, unless it's with the plan of rebuilding it. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because it's like being notates Evan Min HaHechal, which is an Isra of Lo Sasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem. There's that fascinating Tshuva in Nigros Moshe in Yerodei Chelik Dalet Simen Samach Gimel, Osir Gimel, where someone asked Moshe, if someone wants to take a little chisel to the Kosel HaMaravi and chisel off a piece of stone so that he could have it as an inspiration in his house, something to a little piece of Mikdash with him in his house, is there any sort of problem with that? So Rav Moshe says there's a significant problem with that. Aside from Me'ila, it's an Isur Chamor of Lo Sasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem, that even aside from the issue of Me'ila, that you're taking something of Hegdish, Lo Sasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem. And then Rav Moshe expressed his surprise that the rabbi who was asked this question felt the need to send the shayla to Rav Moshe instead of yelling at the guy on the spot. He says, how do you not see the big picture over here? You think it's going to be, if we're matir, that you're allowed to chisel off a stone from the kotel, that there's going to be one guy that does that? There are millions of people. It's they're not making those anymore, the stones from the kotel. He said, people pay exorbitant sums of money for little stamps or coins from who knows when that you find on eBay. He didn't talk about eBay, but I'm saying that for collector's items, you don't think stones from the kotel are going to be a collector's item? They can destroy the whole thing. That's a terrible idea. So Rav Moshe gets very upset that the person didn't realize that this is something that has to be dealt with in the strongest terms immediately, and this is not something that should wait. There is a discussion over here about the other issue of Lo Savi Toeva El Beisecha. How literally do we take that? Is that Dafka El Beisecha, or is it L'Rishuscha in general? What exactly are you not allowed to do? Is it only Ba'ofen Keva or even Ba'ofen Arai? Rav Zilberstein has a discussion, Chashuk Echemer, if a Filipino woman who's helping out an elderly person, and all she just wants to bring in a getchka for a little bit of an avodah zarah that one of her friends asked her to watch for, can she just bring it into the house for a little bit? Is that a violation of L'Savi Toeva El Beisecha? So it's a question, where exactly, what other areas of halacha do you compare this to? Chametz Beveso, that if you're taking no achrayas for it, and you're miyachin makom for someone else's chametz, and it's often arai v'chule, so that would probably not be a violation of the Yisr. Maybe you could say the same thing over here, or stam with avodah zarah, we're just so disgusted by it that we don't want any part of it, that we don't want it at all in the house. So that's an interesting discussion as well, but not for now. Simin shanvoi shanas. Now the Gemara gives a simin. The simin probably relates to the names of the various amorayim who are going to suggest other isurim that could still be violated while you're being choresh that telem echad. Meaning the Gemara was unsatisfied with just eight. Only eight isurim when you're choresh telem na. We could think of at least seven more, says the Gemara. Maskevar of Hoshia, Velech Shav Nami, Hazareah b'nachaleisan. Why don't we count also someone who's Zareah in a nachaleisan? The nachaleisan is the area where they would bring the egla rufa, where it's supposed to be untilled land, and you're not supposed to be Zareah anything in that land. Vasarasimehacha, Ashalo ye avid bovelo yizareah. The Asari is that it says lo ye avid bovelo yizareah. So don't you, wouldn't, if this plowing happens to be done in a nachaleisan, that's a ninth Isser. Maskifla Rav Chananya. So Rav Chananya raised, by the way, Tosus points out, Kasha Dashta Parach Tuva Vlamashani Midi. Tosus says it's so strange. We're about to ask all these additional Isurim, and there's no answer. The Gemara doesn't say, right? We just move on to the next Maskifla and never answer the Nachalesan question. So you have to say that it's a ton of a shir. I will El Kamar El Tana Tani Shmona Vatam and Tana Vashir. But wait, we said before that you're not allowed to say Tana Vashir over here, because you can only say Tana Vashir when there's no specific number. But our Mishnah said it's eight, no more than eight. So how do you say Tana Vashir? Va Omer Ram de lo Dami le El de Tani Shmona Umani Yomtov Bechad, Vemisa di Ikasu Malkus Mishum Yomtov, Hailo Lemnos, and Vishtaim Avlacha Yachalios, Lo Iritan, the Mishav Kalani Gavni, the Zreb Nachles, and Mochikas Hashem. He said, no, because previously what we were suggesting was an additional Yom Tov related Isser. So once you already have the Yom Tov related Isser of Choresh, it's hard to imagine that the Tana didn't think of Zoreah B'Yom Tov. He was already thinking about Yom Tov. So of course, he should have mentioned Zoreah B'Yom Tov along with Choresh and Yom Tov. So over there, we don't say Tana Vishir. We don't say that he skipped that. But over here, we're coming up with these far-fetched type of Isurim. Yeah, the Gemara is going to suggest you could also be Masir the Badei Aron as you're doing this. That's going to be one of the suggestions of the Gemara. I mean, who would think of such a thing? That you could say ton of a shir, that we're not going to rack our brains to go through all the Shasal Losa essays to come up with which ones you could potentially violate at the time of the Charisha. So Maskev Rav Chananya, the second possibility, maybe you'll be erasing the Shem Hashem as you're going, like we just mentioned from the Sifri before, that's Rasha, that you're not allowed to be Mochik Hashem because of Lo sasen ken Hashem Elokeichem. A third one, Maskev Rabbi Yavol v'lukshuv Nami Hakotzei says Baharto. Maybe you're cutting off a piece of your negat saras while you're doing all this plowing. Vasarasi me'achai hisham Rabbi negat saras. Maskev Rabbi v'lukshuv Nami Amaziah Choshen me'ala Eifod v'masir Bade Aron. Maybe you're taking the Choshen off of the Eifod and wearing just the Eifod without the Choshen, or being Masir Bade Aron. Vasarasi me'achav lo yisru v'lo yizach haChoshen, and it would be a violation of those Yisurim. Maskel Ravashi, I'll give you another one. V'lukshav Nami HaChoresh Ba'atzei Asherah. Maybe you're using Atzei Asherah to do your plowing. V'asrasi Me'achav L'yidbrak B'yad Chamu'uma, that you're not allowed to use Avodah Zarah B'nena from Avodah Zarah in any which way. Maskel Ravina V'lukshav Nami HaKotzi Tilanos Tovos. And also we could have mentioned cutting down fruit-bearing trees. V'asrasi Me'achav Kimenu Sochal V'oso Lo Sichros, that you're not allowed to cut down nice fruit-bearing trees. And another item that could have made it onto the list, if a person had taken a shvua not to plow on Yom Tov, so now he's in violation of his shvua as well. Says Gemara, no, all the others I get, that one is not a good one to add on. Hasan lo kachal shvua, such a shvua wouldn't be binding anyway. Mushba v'yomin me'ar sinaihu, because a shvua is only chal if it's not something that's already usher to you. But being chorish and Yom Tov is already usher. It's one of the malachos that you're not allowed to do in Yom Tov, so such a shvua wouldn't be binding to begin with, and therefore it doesn't get added to the list. Amalek gondamer shvua shlo echrosh bein b'chal bein b'yom Tov. There is a way that such a shvuah could be chal if you took a shvuah in general that I'm never going to be charesh, not on weekdays, not on yantif. So then, demigo dechala alei shvuah bechal, there's generally no iser to be charesh on a weekday. So since the shvuah will be chal for the weekdays, Chalal Einami B'Yomtov, the Shavuot is also going to be Chal for the Yomtov. So therefore, it could also be a violation of a Shavuot while one is plowing on Yomtov, as long as he made a Shavuot broadly enough to include Chal and Yomtov. Says Gemara, nah, but still, we don't want to mention Shavuot, because Mididi Isi B'She'ela Lo Katani. We don't mention on our list of Isurim that could be violated something that you can undo the Isur. You could be Shoel on the entire Shavuot, and you can make the Isur go away. So we don't list those such lavin. We're only listing ironclad lavin that will always be usher no matter what. Says the Gemara, we don't list such lavin. Velo, vare hekdish. What about the fact that we mentioned one of the lavin is that it was these were behemoths, two of them actually, were that they were behemoths of mukdashin. That's why both the shor was hekdish, the chamor was hekdish, and therefore it's a violation of two of the eight lavin was that you're using hekdish. Says Gemara bibachar. The point is that hekdish was something that you can undo. You can get rid of the kedusha hekdish. You could be shoel on your akdasha. So Gemara says, no. It's not that you were makdish, it was kadosh automatically. Bibachar, we're dealing with an animal that is a bechar. A bechar is kadosh mirechem. You have nothing to do with its hagdish. There is a mitzvah to declare it kadosh, but it's kadosh anyway. It's kadosh even if you don't declare it kadosh. That's a separate thing, that there is such a thing that sometimes the Torah will require us to declare something kadosh even though it's kadosh mimela. We do it every single week when we say kiddush on Shabbos. Shabbos comes ready or not, whether you want it to be Shabbos or you don't want it to be Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos is there. Yet we still have a mitzvah lahakdisho. We have a mitzvah to be makdish. So you have such an idea by Bukhar, you have such an idea by Meiser Behema, that you count the tenth one out is going to be Meiser, whether you're makdish or not, and yet nevertheless you have to be makdish as Meiser Behema. Says Maravari Nazir. What about Nazir? Nazir is also listed amongst the eight, and nevertheless, that's something you could be shoel on your nazirus, says Mar ben Nazir Shimshon. The type of nazir this guy is, he's a Nazir Shimshon, and Nazir Shimshon cannot be shoel in his nazirus. That's a nazirus for life that cannot be undone retroactively. Frakta Gemara, wait, if he's a Nazir Shimshon, then we're going to have to erase some items from the list. Nazir Shimshon, Barat Mil, Mesamu, is a Nazir Shimshon someone who has an issue of Tumas Meis. One of the items on the list was that he's a Kohen and he's a Nazir and he's plowing in a Beis HaTumah. But a Nazir Shimshon, think about Shimshon, his whole life was about being in contact with Meisim. He made them Meisim. He killed the enemy soldiers, the enemy combatants the entire time. So what do you mean that he's that Nazir Shimshon is the guy we're talking about? Ela haitan iser kolal lesley. No, the reason we don't mention Shavua and say that it's talking about a case of Shavua for not to be choresh on weekdays or yomtov is because even that will not be chal. Just because it's an iser kolal doesn't mean that the Shavua is going to be chal for yomtov, because it's already aser on yomtov. The only reason we thought it would be chal is because we thought that iser kolal would make it chal. The fact that you're being kolal weekdays as well, nah. So we're saying our tana must not assume that way. Amr Hoshia, Hamra Via Shar Psulei HaMukdashim Lok Eshnayim. If a person mates a shar that's Psulei HaMukdashim, that was Hukdash as a Karban, and then became Pasul, and you're Poda, so his Lok Eshnayim gets two Malkiyos. Amr Av Yitzchak HaManig B'Shar Psulei HaMukdashim Lok. Even someone who just leads with one ox that's Psulei HaMukdashim, he gets Malkus. Shari Guf Echad Hu V'Asa HaKasuv K'Shnei Gufim. It's only one animal, but we consider it as if it's two gufim, as if it's chulin and kachim together, and therefore it's considered kelayim, which is such a chiddush that it's considered kelayim, even though it's a single animal of kodesh and chulin together. So that's why you're not allowed to be marvia it, even bimino, because kelayim that you're marvia chulin on kachim or kachim al chulin is a violation. So whatever type of animal you're marvia with it, it's going to be chulin on kachim or kachim on chulin. Okay, new mission now. Kama malkinoso? How many malkios do we take to give the person? Arboim chasrachas shnemar bimispar arboim. It doesn't say arboim, it says bimispar arboim. Minyan shu samach arboim, which we assume means the number that brings us right up to 40. Rabbi Yehuda omer arboim shlemos loka. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Torah says there's 40 malkios. There's 40 malkios, not a single one less. Ve'echon uloka seyaseiro. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a number that's divisible by 3. So where do we give that extra 40th Malchus, we're going to see that we divide the 39 Malchus into three parts of the body where we hit him. So where does the 40th one go? So Bank Sefer, right between his shoulders, down the middle of his back. Whenever we come up with an assessment of what the man is able to handle, and we give him Malchus based on what he's physically fit to be able to handle, we always come up with a number that's divisible by 3. If they assess that he can handle 40 and he gets some of them, and then they do a reassessment when they see the way he's reacting to the Malchus and they realize that he's not going to be able to handle 40, so then Potter. Then he's going to be Potter. If you look at the Rivan on the top, Rivan is where Rashi used to be. The Kivan Dinis Bazi Bebezdin Balaka Ktsas Sagi Lebachi. He already suffered Bezyanis, he got his Malchus, that's enough. Avalolaka Elamdular Bamachaz Vamdu Shein Yachal Lakabal Kulam Lomiftar. Dein Rashan Legroa Omid Aloka Acharzman. But if they did the assessment for 40, and before they touched him, they realized that the assessment was off, that he's not yet strong enough to handle 40, then they do not let him get away with less. They have not yet been mevazehim. Wait until he gets a little stronger, and then give him the 40. So similarly, says the Rivan, if they do an assessment that he can handle 18, and then after they hit him a little bit, they realize that he can handle more than 18, you don't do anything else because he's already been mevazehim. But if they haven't touched him yet, then they can still add to the original omed. They could still add to the original assessment and give him more. Now, there's an interesting chiddush that the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara points out over here, that the lashon of the Mishnah. The lashon of the Mishnah was that amdu lekabel arba'im. They did an omer that he could handle 40. So the Bartzner and Tosyantov say, nah, it doesn't mean 40, because why would they do that? They only get 39. We're not assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. We assume like the Tanakama that it's 39. It means that amdu lekabel 39, not arba'im. That's how the Tosyantov and the Bartzner say. Says the Paras Yosef, no, maybe it's dafka. Meaning he says the Rambam writes, and the Tosyantov quotes it, that the Torah says arba'im, but since you need an omed, the chacham get to give him one less, because maybe they're off by one. But maybe it's dafka, you have to assess that he can handle arba'im, and that's why the Torah uses the term arba'im, because the din is that only if he can handle arba'im can you give him lamites. And if you assess that he can't handle arba'im, that he can only handle lamites, you can't give him lamites. You always have to leave a little bit of wiggle room. You have to leave a little bit of leeway. That's how the Tosyantov suggests to read our Mishnah. That's why it's amdu lekabel arba'im. Okay, says the Gemara. My time. Why is it that he only gets 39 and not 40? Iksiv arba'im b'mispar havamin arba'im b'minyana. If it would have said arba'im b'mispar, I would say, yeah, that means 40. Hashad iksiv b'mispar arba'im minyan shu sokem es arba'im. But since it says b'mispar arba'im, it's the number that leads up to 40, but it's not exactly 40. That's what it sounds like. It's a gzeiras hakasuv specifically here that it's not really arba'im because of the wording b'mispar arba'im. However, the Maritz Chayis points out that if you look in the Rush, in the end of Arvei Pesachim, when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer, it says, Tisbru Chamishim, and we count only 49 days, Mishum Diderech HaMikrohu, Kayotze Bo, Kol HaNefesh LeBeis Yaakov Shivim, that there are a number of places where the Chumash says a round number, and it really means the number below that round number. 50 days? Nah, 49 days of Sfira. 70 descendants of Yaakov go to Mitzrayim? No, 69 descendants. You count them up in the Pesukim. So it sounds that the way the Rosh understands it is that this is part of the Yesod HaLashon. This is one of the rules of Lashon HaKodesh. It's that sometimes we'll say a round number and it will really mean a little bit less than that number. Not the Pashtus of our Sugi here, but that's the Ha'ara the Maritz Chayis has from the Rosh in Arvei Pesachim. Amar Rava, so Rava just comments, if this is true, that the Torah sounds like it means 40, but when we pay careful attention to the wording, the Chacham are able to extrapolate that it's really only 39, Amar Rava, Kama Tipshai Sharinshi, Dekaimi Mikami Sefer Torah, Velokaimi Mikami Gavar Rabba. How foolish some people are that they stand for a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand for a Gavar Rabba. Dilu B'Sefer Torah, Ksiv Arba'im, Vas Rabbanu Batzru Chada. Sefer Sefer Torah says that you have to get 40 malchus, and it's the Rabbanim who come along and taught us that it's only 39 malchios. So how foolish it is that people would not respect the Talmidei Chachamim more than the Sefer Torah. The Ran in Maseches Kiddushin and the Tosas Rid in Maseches Kiddushin and the Tos HaRash in Maseches Kiddushin, Alamed Gimel and Beis, they all point out that Lechor it's a stira in the Gemara between our Gemara and the Gemara in Kiddushin, because the Gemara in Kiddushin implies that the covet of the Sefer Torah is greater than the covet of Talmud Chacham, because the Gemara over there says, how do I know you have to stand for the Sefer Torah? Because the pasuk says Va'adarta Pnei Zaken, so Mipnei Lomdei Omdin Mipaneha Lo Kol Shekein, that if you stand for the Lomdei Torah, for sure you should stand for the actual source, for the Torah itself. Kal v'chomer you should stand for the Torah itself. And now so it sounds the opposite, that the Amidah B'nei Talmidei Chachamim is the more chomer din. You wouldn't be able to make a kal v'chomer that if you stand Mipnei Lomdeha because of the Talmidei Chachamim, then for sure you would stand for the Torah itself. So the Tosos Rid and Tosos Rash and the Ran B'Shem HaTosos all answer that the din of Kavod Sefer Torah is greater than the din of Kavod Talmidei Chacham, like the Gemara in Kiddushin implies. That if you stand for the Lomdim, of course you should stand for the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is more Chamur. What about our Gemara? We're Matmiya on the Bavlim Tipshim that are only Mibnei Sefer Torah, not Mibnei Talmidei Chachamim. How backwards that is, how straight. It's not so backwards. Sefer Torah is stronger than the Talmud Chacham. No, says the Ran, it's true Sefer Torah is stronger than the Talmud Chacham, but how do I know that you're supposed to stand from the Sefer Torah? Where's the limud from? The Torah only says, Vadarta Pnei Zaken, that you stand for a Talmud Chacham. So the limud is from Vadarta Pnei Zaken. So that's what we're saying, that they're foolish because they don't know the source of the din, not because they mixed up what's kal and what's chamur. Problem with that is that our Gemara seems to explain why they're foolish, and it doesn't say because they mixed up the source of the din. It says that they're foolish because look that the Chacham were able to overrule what seems like the Pasha Pshat in Chumash. So it's a little bit difficult to read that into the way that these Rishonim resolve the stira. I was at a bris on Friday, and Rabbi Perlstein, the local mohel, told me that he had his son's bar mitzvah recently, and his son darshined about what it is that you're mechabed about a Talmud Chacham. Are you mechabed the Torah that's in him, or are you mechabed what he's become because of his learning of Torah? Meaning, are you mechabed the gavra as opposed to the Torah that's within him? Possible nafkaminas, I suggested maybe the idea of Eishes Talmud Chacham, that we're mechabed in Eishes Talmud Chacham. It's not the Torah that's in her. She didn't learn the Torah, but you're mechabed the gavra, that the effect of Torah that the Torah has on the family, or the Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, everything else, but it's not the actual Torah. So he suggested that there are Shnei Minei Talmidei Chachamim, that there are two types of Talmidei Chachamim. There are those Talmidei Chachamim that are that are Bekiyim. They know a lot of Torah, they have a lot of Torah within them, but they haven't done anything with that Torah. They are not Mechadesh in Torah, they're not a source of Torah, they're not a Mayan HaMisgaber. So that's and then there's the Talmidei Chachamim on a higher level, who are more than just the collection of the knowledge that they have amassed. They're not just a Sinai, they're an Oker Harim. So he suggested that maybe those are two different dinim, and maybe that would resolve this stira as well. Because if it's about the Torah that's within them, so then why not honor the Sefer Torah more? Sefer Torah is that same Torah in its original, but if it's about what he's done with that Sefer Torah, that he's been able to expand on it, so then you would honor the Talmud Chacham more than the Sefer Torah. So he answered many, many other kashas with that possible distinction. It was a very nice bar mitzvah. I wasn't at the bar mitzvah, but a very nice bar mitzvah drasha that he gave me at the bris. There's a discussion in the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba points out that l'chori you do see that there is a link, meaning if we derive the chiv kavod for a Sefer Torah, the chiv kima for a Sefer Torah from the chiv kima for a Talmud Chacham, so the rules are probably the same. If a Talmud Chacham is not moving, he's just standing in one place, in Makom Yuchad, so there's no requirement to stand from. It's when he walks into a room, he walks by you, that's when you stand for a Talmud Chacham. But if he's just in one place, and that's why the halacha is the same when it comes to a Sefer Torah. If a Sefer Torah is sitting on the bima, so that's it. It's sitting, it's in its place. You don't have to stand the whole time the Sefer Torah is out because it happens to be there. You have to stand when the Sefer Torah is in motion from one place to the other. That's what the Taz writes, that the minhag that we have to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open, l'chora, is not a requirement. It's a minhag, he says. says a nice minhag, a good minhag, but it's a minhag, it's not a requirement. Rav Moshe has a whole diyun in the tshuva. When the Taz says it's a minhag, does that mean that we already makabel it as a minhag and it has the force of a minhag where one has to do it? Or does he mean hecha denog? No, again, if you choose not to be knowing that way, not to be knowing enough kamina, if a person finds it difficult to stand during the ila the whole time, the Aron Kodesh is open, so it should you push yourself? Or you say, not knowing. More important that I have concentration, that I have proper focus. When I sit down, why should I push myself? Rav Moshe suggests that if people find it difficult to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open, that they should leave it open less than three tefachim. That's a modern suggestion. He said, leave it open less than three tefachim. Why? Because it's din of lavud, so it's considered as if it's completely closed. But legabe, the minog of opening the Aron, it's considered a kiyum of that minog of opening the Aron. I don't know. But that's what Rav Moshe suggests. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arboim Shlemos. Rabbi Yehuda says that we give him 40 full malchios, that it's none of this 39. You don't let the guy off easy with just 39. So my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that we give him 40 shlemos? So it says the Gemara, "Dichsiv ma hamakos heile bein yodecha v'amar asher kesi beis ma'avai." So it says the pasuk says ma hamakos heile bein yodecha and asher hu kesi beis ma'avai. So you see that Bezin gives a malchus between the shoulders, beina yadayim, that must be the 40th lash. So Gemara says, v'rabbanan, the rabbanan say you only get 39 malchus. What do they do with that pasuk? It's not talking about chiv malchus. That's talking about when Rebbe is hitting a tinok shel beis rabban who's not learning properly, so they hit him on the hand. That's what it means. Einam denel v'makos ruuyos. We said you can only give him, when we make an assessment, we try to get a number that's divisible by 3. So says the Gemara, laka in lo laka lo, meaning the Mishnah had said that if they do an omer that he could handle 40 and he got some and then they realize he's not going to be able to handle all 40, he's pater. Sounds like it's only because we've already given him some of the malchios, but had we not yet given him any of the malchios and we do a second assessment and we realize he cannot handle 40, lo, he's not pater from the 40. We just have to wait till he gets his strength back and then we're going to give him the full 40. So says Minhu, but I'll ask you a stira. Amadu the Kabbalah Arba'im. Let's say they do an assessment and they realize that he's able to handle 40. V'chazu v'amdu she'ein yachal Kabbalah Arba'im. And then they do a second assessment before they ever touched him, and they realize that he's not able to handle 40. Potter! We don't say we wait till he gets his strength back and give him 40. He's just off the hook. He's Potter from the Malkus. So Amadu Lekabel Shmon Esrei. And similarly, the Brisa says that if we make an assessment that he can handle 18, V'chazru V'amdu Sheyachal Lekabel Arbayim, and then we do a second assessment, we realize that we underestimated his strength, that he can handle 40, Potter, so he's Potter from getting the 40, and he only gets the 18 based on the first assessment. So it sounds like even if we haven't touched him yet, he's Potter from the original Omed, which was more Chamur, because of the second Omed, which was more Kal. Or he's Potter from the second Omed, which was more Chamur, because of the first Omed, which is more Kal. Even if we haven't touched him yet, we just go with whichever Omed was more Kal. So I'm Rashesh's Lokash, it's not a Stira. In our Mishnah, we're talking about that on the same day that they did the assessment that he can handle 40, they did another assessment that he's not able to handle anything. So certainly the first assessment was a tautless, because his matzav could not have changed so much in such a short amount of time. And therefore we say the first assessment doesn't even count as anything, so wait till he gets stronger and we'll make a new assessment, we'll see what he actually really can handle. But if he already got some of the malchios, he's potter because he was already in this bazav based in, you don't have to hit him anymore. In the Seifa, if we initially assess he can handle 18, and on that same day they did a second assessment that he can handle 40, so obviously the first assessment was wrong, it was a mistake, and therefore, even if he already got the full 18, it's a bizayon for Bezdin to go back and give him the 40, and that's why he's potter. But if we haven't touched him yet, there's no bizayon to Bezdin, so we can give him the proper assessment, which is the 40 that he could handle right now. now. But the Bryce's case was damdu l'machar liyoma ochara, that they did an omed that he could handle until tomorrow or the next day. So when it came time to give him the malchus, they did a second assessment, not on the same day, and they see that his matzav has changed. So then we say that the first omed was not a mistake. It's just that the matzav has changed. So if the first omed was for 40, and now we see that he's not able to handle 40, so we don't have to give him the 40. We can just give him, he was already his positive with the first omed, and if the first omed is for 18 and the second one is for 40, you don't give him the full 40. You do based on the omed arishon, because it was a valid assessment. It was an omed gomor. It's just that his matzav has changed over the course of a day. But within the same day, there's no way we would assume the matzav has changed. We would assume that that the first assessment was simply an error. So Bez Hashem, let's do the next mishnah. Aver aver sheish b'shnei lavin amdu omed echad loka v'loka upater v'im lav loka misrapi v'chozer v'loka. If you do a single assessment for multiple averos, so he can get all the malchus at once. But if he's otherwise loka misrapi v'chozer v'loka v'atani enyamdin omed echad l'shnei lavin. I thought we don't do a single assessment for two lavin. I'm rav sheish lokasha hada amdu l'arbaim v'chada hada amdu. As long as he can handle at least 42, meaning the 39 plus at least 3 more for the second one, then that's good enough. We could do 2 lavin at the same time. But if he can't handle 42, then we won't do for 2 lavin at the same time. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at that last mishnah on the page tomorrow.